live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by the Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years. Located at 4th and Broadway, Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900, or you can find them on the web at chicopapercompany.com. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino, and today I'd like to welcome Nancy Matthews back to the show, this time as a co-host instead of as a guest. For our listeners who don't know, Nancy Matthews is the founder of the group Plant-Based Chico, which is dedicated to plant-based nutrition education and is an awesome support group here in Chico for those wishing to transition to a plant-based diet. Nancy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jeannie. It's great to be here again.
All right. Today, Nancy and I are going to be reviewing the new movie, What the Health?, a new documentary from the producers of Cowspiracy, which you may or may not have seen, but was also a great documentary. Like Cowspiracy, What the Health follows the intrepid filmmaker Kip Anderson on a journey of discovery as he uncovers possibly the largest health secret of our time and uncovers the collusion between industry, government, pharmaceutical, and health organizations that is keeping vital information from us. What the Health was just released on Netflix, so it's been making the rounds on various vegan blogs and websites, and so I thought we would take a listen to the trailer, and you all can get an idea of what the movie's about, and then Nancy and I are going to talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
Disease, the dementia, the obesity, the cancers are affecting about 70% of deaths.
We have an epidemic cascade of debilitating disease that's overcoming the country.
18% of children are morbidly obese right now. We're on par to have 1 in 3 people be diabetic in the next 25 years. That's crazy statistics.
We have this very dangerous situation.
Large amounts of these substances have unquestionably been associated with clogged arteries, high blood pressure, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. Absolutely, the science is solid.
We're talking life and death.
Health organizations have become co-opted. They are taking money from the very industries who are causing the problem.
There's a very strong pharmaceutical industry and lobby that has a huge stake in preserving the status quo.
We've got a $35 billion statin drug industry. Do they ever want to see that go away?
The government's in bed with anyone that gives them the most money.
These are government programs.
Consumers have no idea.
We consider it normal that a town the size of the town I grew up in gets wiped out every year.
If that many people were being killed by some terrorist group in the United States every year, we would find them.
From a community standpoint, from all other aspects, we're in a state of emergency.
They care more about cooperation than these people.
They spend at least $138 million lobbying Congress.
These companies really have a vested interest in making sure that the public doesn't have information about their effects.
Any little thing that comes up, man, they beat it to death.
They are trying to silence people into not speaking out and not showing the truth.
If that's where you want to go with this, I'm sorry, I'm not the person that you should be talking to.
The European Association of Society.
Okay, so that was the trailer for the new documentary, What the Health, that's now available on Netflix. And so, Nancy, what were your impressions of this film?
Well, I find that it's fascinating that we continue to uncover the truth about the cover-ups that's happening in the healthcare industry. In the movie What the Health, it's 91 minutes of exposure to the truth, and people need to watch this and understand that the correlation between meat and dairy and illness is a thing. It's a real thing. And in the movie, Kip Anderson, he reinforces the science with Dr. Greger, who of nutritionfacts.org, Dr. Esselstyn of Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, Dr. Barnard. He wrote the book Program for Reversing Heart Disease and is the founder of PCRM.
It's the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It's a nonprofit.
Correct. And he just recently wrote the book called The Cheese Trap. It's a phenomenal book. And another book called Power Foods for the Brain. And Dr. Goldhammer, Dr. Clapper of the True North Health Center, right in our backyard over in Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really close. They have an amazing fasting program. They promote juice fasting, water fasting, a whole food plant-based lifestyle. And it's actually a live-in program.
Oh, okay. It's very good.
And it's right close to Dr. McDougall's facility, too, where he has his practice.
Very good.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dr. Milton Mills, an African-American doctor who is the Associate Director of Preventative Medicine at PCRM.
Okay. Well, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about some of the main points that this movie... I just want to say also, this movie was really enjoyable for me. It had a plot. It had a lot of talking heads, like a lot of these nutrition and health movies do, on all different topics, not just plant-based diets or vegan diets. But I thought it was well handled by this editing and directing crew of Keegan Coon is the director, and Kip Anderson is also a co-director and co-producer, and Cowspiracy was an excellent movie, and so is this. And they also have websites attached to both those movies. So the website attached to What the Health is whatthehealthfilm.com. And every single statistic that Nancy and I are going to talk about in the next 25 minutes or so, they have a bullet point about it and also a reference for it. A link to the information.
They also have on their website available to purchase is a What the Health recipe book and guidebook if you're interested in following along in the program.
I'd say, you know what, before you buy the book, go ahead and check out Nancy's group, Plant-Based Chico, and let that be your on-ramp to this way of eating.
We will do you good.
And we'll talk about that a little bit after we're done talking about the movie. What would you say, like, one of the most important points was?
Well, what I really liked about the movie is that Kip Anderson is absolutely honest. He says in the movie that he's a self-proclaimed recovering hypochondriac, and he was set out to understand nutrition and how it relates to health. Kip's like many of us in America. He has a long history of chronic disease throughout his family history. He was curious. What does food play in the role in his health?
I don't think he was curious. I think he was scared.
I think he was truly scared. He said his father had heart disease, cancer, diabetes in the family, and many of us are in the same suit. We do. So do we just blindly accept that our genetics give us a predisposition to life of chronic disease and a life with that revolves around pharmaceuticals. Do we just accept that when we turn 40-ish, we'll begin to start experiencing arthritis, type 2 diabetes, obesity, heart disease, autoimmune disorders like fibromyalgia, lupus, and so on? Or should we be questioning why we have heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and chronic diseases throughout our family history? Could it be that our family's eating patterns have been passed down from generation to generation? When we see pattern throughout the family history, we blame our genes and we call it hereditary, rather than looking closer at the common practices in the family, such as our food and our environment.
It's really hard to dissect the difference between genetics and environment. And that's what I found really interesting about this movie, yeah, is that they kind of split that, saying, hey, you know what? If we see familial patterns of cancer repeating itself in siblings or from parent to child or grandparent, parent to child, you know what they have in common as much as their genetics is they have their diet.
Correct.
You know, we all have our comfort foods. We all have that recipe that grandma made or that from that special restaurant that you like. And you know what? That's a trait as almost similar as a genetic predisposition.
Right. And the trait is we inherit these food practices by our great grandmother, our grandmother, our moms, our dads, our aunts, our uncles. A diet generally that's heavy and meat and dairy. So in a sense, our diet is what we inherited. The foods are the causation. And we know now through research, we can turn genes off and on through nutrition. Genetics is taking the blame. What's exciting, Jeannie, is that I'm a prime example of the paradigm of blaming our genes. My dad had severe heart disease, hypertension, high cholesterol, polymyalgia, diverticulitis, ulcers.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, he had terrible chronic disease. And then in his late 60s, he developed carcinoid cancer, and that's what inevitably ended his life. The cancer was the cause of his death. And my mom, also a long history of uterine cancer, breast cancer, skin cancer. She had autoimmune disorders. When I turned 50, I decided, you know, I'm doomed. I'm looking like I'm going to be a pharmaceutical customer for the rest of my life. And I said, well, no, that's not who I am. So I did my research and I found that through a plant-based lifestyle, you can turn those genes off and on. And so I no longer have a predisposition for chronic disease. I have a future free of chronic disease, and so can you. So can everybody.
Yeah, there were a couple of examples in the movie of people who had changed their diets and really recovered or did better after suffering, you know, some major chronic illnesses, arthritis, diabetes, heart disease. And yes, they were getting better from those conditions. But more importantly, what I liked was their attitude. Right. They were happy not to be taking pills anymore or a reduced number of pills. And they had regained some enjoyment both from their food and in their life in general. So it can sound like daunting. It may sound easier to take a pill to treat a condition, particularly since we're really conditioned to do so. But it doesn't hurt. And you can actually get some joy out of your life by changing your diet.
Correct.
And seeing how that works, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. And like we saw in the movie, the gentleman who was taking 14 pills, he was able to, within a month, reduce them down to 7 pills. And he was feeling better, and he had hope. That was the thing that we don't get, is we don't get hope when we're going to the pharmacy every week to get our prescriptions, and we just don't feel good. So it was really an uplifting portion of the movie that it was nice to see that people see that there's hope.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, partly why doctors are not recommending dietary changes, because it can be daunting. But what have you got to lose, right?
Yeah, right.
And let's carry on. So yeah, I would like our listeners to take away the idea that yes, you may have hereditary patterns that point to various diseases, but take a step back and see if you'd be interested in perhaps changing your approach to your own condition and seeing if, you know, shaping up your diet a little bit might help that. And incidentally, it'll help the planet and it'll help the animals too. That's where I'm coming from always. But, you know, help yourself a little.
Yep, absolutely. So.
Yeah, I one of the other points that was fascinating in the movie to me was that they there was a section on toxins in our environment. We're all concerned about various toxins. Dioxin is one that was mentioned quite a bit in this movie, and how we try to avoid environmental exposure to these toxins. But in fact, a very good point that the movie made is that these toxins that are in our environment affect us, but they also tend to be ingested by the animals we eat, either because we feed it to them or because it's inherent to the area where they're grazing or where they're living, and that it can be extra toxic, not only to yourself, but if you're a nursing mom, you tend to be a concentrator of these toxins because your body will actually try and pass them off. They're often lipid soluble. And one of the factoids was that, for instance, if you are exposed to dioxin in your environment, say you're next to an incineration type plant or a power plant, you can be exposed to dioxin by breathing it or by consuming it, and that it will take you 14 years of breathing in dioxin in a certain area to be equal to the amount of dioxin that a cow will consume by grazing in that same area on one day, right? So that cow will over weeks or months will concentrate those toxins in her muscle and in her and in her mammary glands, and she'll pass it right back on to you in that way. So
it's bioaccumulative.
That was an interesting point. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. Nancy Matthews and I, Jeannie Trezino, have been talking about the new Netflix documentary and doing a sort of an in-depth review and reflection on this documentary called What the Health. So, yeah. You know, let's talk about the big picture too. Like what our country has in terms of health and nutrition guidance.
You know, we don't have much. That's the really unfortunate
thing. We have plenty. We have plenty, but it's all skewed.
That's what I should have said. It is definitely skewed. What I find truly astonishing in the food that's provided at organizations like at the American Diabetes Association, when they have events, they serve chicken, fat-laden dress salad dressings. They have cream sauces on pastas, high-fat dressings, and of course, high-fat desserts. And why would the American Diabetes Association have food like this at their events? That to me is mind-boggling. We know that fat is a big player in type 2 diabetes.
How is it a big player? I think most of our listeners assume, because I know I did, that if you're diabetic, type 1 or type 2, sugar is your enemy, and
right.
You want to have like a low-sugar, low-carb diet.
That's a misnomer. It's actually the fat. It's fat that blocks the glucose from getting into the cell, so it stops the insulin. Insulin is the key, so envision a door. So insulin brings the glucose into the cell. If there's fat in the bloodstream, it can't cross the fat barrier. That is what insulin resistance is. So when you remove the fat from your diet, the glucose can get into your cell and do what it's supposed to do. And so if you have the buildup and buildup and buildup of glucose, so when you have a buildup and buildup of glucose, that is your sugar is going up and going up and going up. So then you have to inject yourself with insulin or take a pill to bring that sugar down, because the fat prevents the glucose from getting into the cells, and then the cells doing what the cells do with glucose. They turn it into energy. And
So reducing dietary glucose or sugars on the standard diabetic association guideline keeps sugar from entering your body in the first place. So
correct.
That is how it keeps the blood sugar low. But in fact, your body has this mechanism for using that sugar.
Yep.
And that is called insulin.
It's a hormone.
But the fat blocks the insulin from working.
Yes, it blocks the key to the door.
So instead of reducing sugar or carbs, you can also approach this condition, type 2 diabetes, which is insulin resistance, by reducing the amount of fat you eat.
Yes.
And a really good way of reducing the amount of fat you eat is to increase the number of plants you eat, right?
Exactly. Meat, dairy, there's no fiber. So if you have no fiber in your diet, you're consuming meat that's pure saturated fat. Dairy.
It's not pure saturated fat. I don't want to get into exaggerations. Animal protein is a mix of, or animal flesh is a mix of protein and fat.
Correct.
Okay.
But the fat is pure saturated fat.
Yes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But yes, there's protein and there's some B12, but the fat is saturated fat.
Okay. Carry on.
And so there's no fiber. So when you are eating that, ingesting the meat and the dairy, the animal flesh and the dairy, that fat is in your bloodstream. And then as you consume it and you develop fatty liver syndrome, which is something that I used to have, and I reversed through a whole food plant-based diet and was beginning on the borderline of insulin resistance by removing the fat from my diet, it reversed the fatty liver syndrome and my blood sugar is completely normal. So that's...
I think this is a common phenomenon that surprises a lot of people who are like at the end of their rope and not feeling well, and because these medications have side effects. Medications, if you have type 2 diabetes, have side effects, and they have expense. They're expensive. And I think a lot of people have been surprised to find that they're able to start reducing their dependence on these medications. Their blood sugar levels become in the normal range, surprisingly. I mean, it's not surprising once you've seen it happen enough times, but it is surprising if you're the person experiencing it and thought you had no way of controlling this condition except by...
Right.
Medicine. And you know what? And so what the medicine is doing, it is only affecting the symptoms.
Right.
The symptom, the quote, symptom of high blood sugar.
It's a Band-Aid.
It doesn't address the cause of the high blood sugar, which is, Nancy has explained, is the fat in the lipids in the blood that prevent the insulin from working.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah, sadly, the medications prescribed for diabetes and heart disease and other chronic diseases, they fail to provide a cure. They downgrade the symptoms, but again, fail to provide a cure. Most all medications come with a host of side effects, so we have to take more medications to combat the side effects of the statins that we're taking, and we inevitably end up a prisoner of the pharmaceutical company. The pharmaceutical company wants you as a lifelong customer, and... did I mention that Big Pharma gives the food industry millions of dollars and to the American Diabetes Association, too? Jeannie, I think that's really disturbing that the American Diabetes Association raises millions and millions of dollars through donations for research. And what are they researching? You know, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. And what are they putting on their website? How are they guiding people with diabetes type 1 or type 2 and to how to eat and live? And that's one of the things that this What the Health, which is the movie we're talking about, uncovers. And that's what sets him, Kip Anderson, off on his journey, is that, like, why is the American Dietetic Association's website encouraging people to eat chicken and
bacon wrapped shrimp.
Right? Why are they doing this? And why is there precious little information on vegan recipes on their
and
website?
Lifestyle change?
Yeah,
there's nothing on lifestyle change on not only the American Diabetes Association but the American Heart Association, Susan G. Komen. These organizations are raking in millions of dollars through sponsorship and people like you and me who go into the Relay for Life, and on their website they offer no lifestyle change, no health, nothing regarding food.
Yeah, and we get it. It's hard to change habits, but everybody has to start somewhere, and it's I think it's unfortunate that these big well-funded groups don't give that a chance. But
they
understand why. And then that's part of the interest of the movie, the way that triangle is sort of played out between nonprofit health groups like the American Dietetic Association and others, the food industry, and regulation, government regulation, and how the money flows between those sectors, making it very difficult for change to happen. But you know what? Despite all that, you can make a change.
That's right. If you need to be your own health advocate, you've got to understand that the doctor has roughly 12 minutes when you go in the exam room. Can you sit down and talk about your health in 12 minutes? Not likely. So you need to call your doctor if you're interested in finding about a whole food plant-based lifestyle. Go to your doctor, tell them you're interested in this, and have your blood work done so you have a starting point. And if your doctor's resistant to it, then you need to get a new doctor. That's the bottom line, because I promise you the government isn't going to help us get healthy. There's no money in it. Pharmaceutical companies spend more money on lobbying than any other industry.
Yeah, I looked it up. And so in 2016, the pharmaceutical and health product industry spent, in just 2016, they spent $245 million lobbying.
That's insane.
Congress compared to the next one below it was the insurance industry, which spent $147 million. So that's $100 million difference between the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry in terms of money spent on lobbying. So no wonder we find it hard to change these systems, right? They're kind of baked into our society and our...
It's ingrained in us now, you know?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. So through movies like... What the Health, Forks Over Knives, Plant Pure Nation. We have a grassroots movement that's happening. There's an old saying that my dad used to say, the truth will always surface. And that's what's happening. You know, it's conversations like we're having on the radio, documentaries, and it's awareness.
And I think it's clear that the system eventually will collapse upon its own weight. As a country, we cannot afford to keep spending.
No, it's not sustainable.
On medications and doctors, right? They should be, you know, if there's an option to prevent entry into the medical system and requiring medical intervention, we would all benefit from looking at those and taking advantage of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Okay, so I encourage everyone to check out What the Health on Netflix. It's a 91-minute movie. It's well worth your time. I suggest that you keep pencil and paper handy while you're watching it, because like me, if you're anything like me or Nancy, you'll want to take some notes. So I'll go ahead and post a link to the What the Health website so you can find it on your own and check out the FAQs there and get some more information. So Nancy, go ahead and tell us. We have Nancy Matthews this week. She's my co-host because Danny Toms is not available today. Hope he's doing well. But Nancy is the founder of Plant-Based Chico. So in about 1 minute, please give us a thumbnail of what Plant-Based Chico is and the next time it's meeting.
I'm excited to share Plant-Based Chico with our listeners. Our philosophy is to promote, teach, and help anyone transition to a plant-based lifestyle. We follow a whole food, plant-based, no oil, no added sugar, no added oil, excuse me.
No salt, no oil, no sugar. I know that sounds scary, folks, but if you check out Nancy's meetings, which she'll tell you in a second, I promise it's just an on-ramp onto tasteful eating. Honestly, it's not a deprivation diet.
It's not at all. We meet monthly, the last Thursday of each month at Chico Guilds Hall at 2775 Nord Avenue in Chico at 6 p.m. Our meeting is next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. Our meeting topic next month is tips and tricks to successfully transition to a lifestyle, whole food plant-based lifestyle.
That's perfect. What good timing.
Perfect timing. Yep. And it's great. We have air conditioning. We know it'll be hot. Nick and I always have a food item to share. So it's low key. It's comfortable. Please come. Feel relaxed. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, Nancy's a great host. Nancy and her husband, Nick, they've lived the life. They've gone through the struggles. They've eaten all the bad recipes. They've read the bad books, and they know which ones are the good resources and what are the good recipes. So
I encourage folks to try that out. We've been at this for over 5 years.
So just want to really briefly on the calendar, and then we'll wrap up. Chico Vegan Potluck is this Saturday, June 24th, 6 to 8 p.m., Chico Library Community Room. Nancy's group will have a Whole Foods plant-based, no salt, no oil, no sugar table. And then there'll be the rest of the tables, which is, I'll be there. Our theme this month is barbecue. So, yeah, check it out. You can go to get information at chicovegan.com or on the Facebook group.
I'm bringing veggie kebabs.
Oh, that sounds great. So that's it for the calendar. If you have an event or other news to share, send an email to chicovegan@gmail.com and tell me all about it. And we have one last bit of business to take care of. It's the animal rights quote of the week.
By Dr. Milton Miller, one of the doctors featured in What the Health. Everybody loves a smoothie made from fruit and even some vegetables. But if you think putting a piece of fish or beef in a blender and grinding it up, the thought is absolutely repulsive. It's absolutely true. Remember that.